Well, you're here in the Roaring Fork Valley working with young poets and writers. What is that like?
Oh my goodness. It's amazing. It's really, really rewarding. It's stressful. It's liberating. It's so many things. I guess I don't really know where to start or where to begin. But it's at the end of it all, it's an amazing experience.
And you're pretty young yourself. You're 22, so you're probably kind of still discovering that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I was telling the kids, actually, I don't like calling you kids because I'm only 4 years older than you, technically. I'm actually a senior in college, about to graduate. And I started pretty early. I started when I was 17, actually writing and performing seriously on like a serious level. So I've had a couple of years, but I am very much still learning. I'm a student myself. So being here is actually like a trial error type deal for me, because then I get to see what works when I teach and what doesn't. And as a student, I have to think, well, if I was in this student's position, am I going to learn the best this way?
Do you find that it's kind of like a we learn together sort of situation?
It definitely is a we learn together sort of situation. And I'm constantly experimenting with ideas and workshops and concepts. And I tell them that at the beginning, I'm also a student, I'm learning. So just bear with me. If this totally goes a direction that it was not supposed to go, roll with it and we'll just see what comes out of it. But usually the poems and the students have a really good time in any of the workshops, even if they go totally south from what I was trying to do. We end up finding really good poems coming out of just surprises, I guess. So yeah.
And do you does that happen to you, finding poems out of surprises for you?
Yes, poems. For me, poems actually happen when I'm angry the most. Most of my poems are in an angry tone, which I'm working on. I'm trying to be not soft, because I don't like the word soft, but a little bit more open to being emotional on stage and vulnerable, and that's hard for me to do. So a lot of my poems are angry, because that's my comfort zone, is being angry on stage, surprisingly. But poems come from the most random things. Someone will say something to me, and I'll be like, I don't like what you said, I'm going to write a poem about it. Or someone can act a certain way. I can see something on TV that I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. Just anything that I've witnessed in the past that I need to write about to kind of heal my own emotions. It comes from so many different places, I guess. And I think that's the cool thing about it, is that it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's coming from somewhere. So writing about it is the best part.
What was the hardest thing to write that you, out of all of the things you've written, what is your hardest poem to write?
Ooh, that poem is still being written, to be honest.
Oh. Would you be able to do it now?
Oh, yeah, you know what? We can do it now. It has actually a lot of, cuss words. I don't know if
I can beep.
You can beep them?
Yeah.
Facebook asks how I feel today. Well, for starters, I feel fat. Yeah, let's start there. Fat, like I shouldn't have ate that third slice of green chili deep dish pepperoni pizza. Fat, like the cashier at Wendy's asks, how many months are you? And you say, oh, I'm not pregnant, I'm just fat. Fat, like your best friend is complaining about how fat she feels and she's skinny. And you're looking at it like, shut the fuck up. Fat, like chub rub is a real thing. It's when your thighs rub together due to the lack of space, causing two giant holes on the inside of your jeans. Guess that means I have to shop for new ones. Fat, like I'm shopping for new jeans and nothing is fitting. Fat, like the only bigger sizes we're gonna have are gonna be in our plus size section. Fat, like great, now I have to shop in the plus size section. Why is there even a plus size, and why I gotta be a plus size? Can't I just be my size? Fat, like nah, Sethis, there is no your size. There's the perfect size, and size, I guess you're not perfect. Fat, like please do not tag me in photos on Facebook unless you ask me permission first. Fat, like holy shit, why would you record me spitting a poem from this angle? Fat, like I hate swimsuit shopping, I hate swimming even more. Fat, like you know what, I'm just gonna stop eating forever, and the scale hasn't changed. I'll just eat some more fat. Like, can you pass me another tortilla fat? Like, all your aunties and your uncles still call you gordita fat. Like, ew, fat girl, you can't play with us because you're fat, fat. Like, the boy you liked in middle school would not dare date the fat girl, but used to play with your hands under the desk, fat. Like, nobody asked you to prom in high school, fat. Like, you're so smart and talented, Mercedes. Now, if you just lost weight, you'd be perfect, fat. Like, I should lose weight, shouldn't I, fat? Like, don't forget to take those pills, Mercedes, and drink those shakes and break your bones. Starve yourself, yeah. That's it. I feel fat. I never knew I could feel like macronutrient. Like triglyceride, like a metabolic function, like saturation. The frustration is real. See, one can't technically feel fat, but I'd rather use the word fat than use words like disgusting, disappointed, ugly, up, ashamed. And it's not just me. I see girls like Lily. She is 10 years old. She is big-hearted and bright. She doesn't know she's a radiant light. Most of the time, they teach girls like Lily to feel like black hole. I see myself in Lily sometimes, and all the girls labeled too big for beautiful, it breaks me. We are trained to flinch when someone calls our bodies perfect to convince ourselves otherwise. I think I have felt fat my whole life because the weight of what the world thinks I'm worth has been sticking to the lining of my stomach, and I'm tired of wearing this skin like an apology. Like, I have to hide this fat ass and these fat thighs and this fat tummy. I am done feeling fat. So let this be the breakthrough for the big girls. Let this be the big fat rock you throw at the mirror. Break this image. Eat that third slice. Shop in the plus section without shame. Wear your bikini with pride. Say thank you when someone calls you beautiful, and do not apologize for the weight you carry, for the size you wear, for the clothes that don't fit. Forgive everything said meant to brand you like cattle, and love yourself even if it takes time. Love yourself because we are enough. You are enough. I am enough. And there is no better feeling than enough.
Wow. You write about identity and race a lot. How did you come to doing that? Why was that what you wanted to write about?
Very good question. So, growing up, you don't realize that you're walking through so many identities at once. You realize, like, people tell you, you have to pick one thing to be, and you have to be it. And I never understood how that was possible, being both a woman and being both Mexican-American. And I never understood how I could walk through just one walk of life being so many different things. Everyone is human, and everyone is either, I mean, you can be a father, a brother, a sister, a mother, an artist, an athlete, a student, a teacher. There's so many different identities, and the intersectionality of that is beautiful. And when I started writing, I started writing poems about being a woman, because my first idea of women writing poetry was writing love poetry, and I didn't really come to the conclusion that women could write about things that empowered them, rather they can just write about feeling heartbreak. And when I realized that women have the power to write about anything they want, it was a whole new world, and it was a whole new beginning for me. And I just dove into that experience of being able to write about my body, to write about my freedom of speech, to write about my education, to write about the oppression that women face on a daily basis. My racial identity is a complicated story. My mother is Mexican. She immigrated to the United States in the 1970s when she was about 2. And I grew up in Mexican culture. My grandparents took a big part in raising me because my mom was very young and my dad was very young. So I grew up in a Mexican household full of loud people and spicy food and family and tradition and culture. And growing up in Albuquerque, where it's predominantly Mexican and white and a mix of Mexican and white, I had a hard time finding where I fit in. That dilemma always had me really frustrated growing up, because I never knew just exactly where I belonged. And it wasn't until high school I noticed that there was segregation in the schools, and not classroom segregation, but institutionalized racism, definitely, where most of the kids in AP classes were white kids. And because I was smart, I used to take the classes with the white kids. But I was never treated like I was smart enough to be in those classes. And now I feel better about it. I know where I stand. I know I'm a mixed blood, and I love that fact about me now. I didn't know what to feel about it back then, but now I'm really proud of it, and I love speaking about it. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.